just need to stop in life. And we're a family. And Pastor Rick had his final journey service on Monday. It's a beautiful service, too. And we had a beautiful service last Sunday in which a number of people shared about Rick and Sue. And I don't know if we can replicate that today, but I want to give you a heads up for a few minutes. We're going to give you the opportunity to share about Rick and just kind of stop as a congregation. And it's no small thing for a leader such as Rick, who's been part of our church for the last 35 years, to go home to be with the Lord. And I was thinking, what are some of the things that we can make sure that we glean from Pastor Rick's life? I'll give you a few minutes to think while I'll share a little bit myself. I was always impacted by Pastor Rick's testimony. I'm an English teacher myself, and he would share his testimony as to how he, when he was in high school, he wrote a composition on the subject of death. And his English teacher wrote a whole composition back to him on the subject of life. And from my take on that, as I gleaned from it, that kind of caused him to go on a journey to really understand where true life comes from. And often Rick would say, Christ came that we would have life, and that we would have it abundantly, that we would have abundant life, that we would have life to the full. And of course, he emphasized Christ's resurrection life. He focused on the resurrection life of Christ and really focused on Christ. I'd like us to turn to Romans chapter 8. I had the privilege of sharing one of Rick's favorite verses at the final journey service. In Romans 8:31, says, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Often Rick would say that. If God be for us, who can be against us? Is one of his mottos. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced..." Are you convinced? "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that was a message on the heart of Rick. Of course, Sue, I don't know if you have anything you want to say, but it's open up to you as well.
Isaiah 41 says, "So do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In the last 9 months, which is the hardest of his illness, and one most people knew about, it's been a real trial. And it's okay, because God told us not to fear.
Amen.
I have many people, very good intentions, and I appreciate them coming up to say that Rick is going to be healed. And I declare healing and all this other stuff. And I appreciate what they said, because I agree with them. However, around February, God says it's not going to be what people think, or what they're hoping for, or what they're praying for. It's going to be what I want. And he impressed on me, there's two types of healing, one of the world and one of heaven.
Amen.
And the one here is only temporary. It's imperfect. You can heal one thing, so that's something else wrong with your body. But if you take it home, it's all home.
Yeah.
And so we kind of knew as of February that that's what God told us, that he's taking it home. And it was an easy journey from then. And we haven't been in church since March. I appreciate all your prayers. Because the last 2 weeks were the hardest thing for him. Because he watched himself fade away as a person. He was no longer the same person he knew for 62 years. And he had to grow and all that good stuff. And you change. But he became just skin and bones. Lack of any other term. And it was very difficult for him to look in a mirror. But we knew that God had a reason for it. So we spent the time with our family mostly. And every Sunday the kids would come in, and my daughter-in-law would plan dinner for us. You know what a blessing they are. And then became sisters in that 2 weeks. Not just friends, but actually sisters. And my sons were closer than they've ever been before. And it's been interesting to watch because, these kids are all different. They're never the same. But when my kids stepped up, they all stepped up in different areas. Nothing overlapped. So they took care of everything. And they're still working with me. Boy, you might feel crazy and dumb sometimes. You start trying to clear things out on my computer. Oh my God, I'm just not there. But when he died, I knew it was the right time. He had already warned me. And God has a way of telling me things and let me sit up and stew in on God. He always has. Because he always will. But I can name at least 20 examples of things he told me and I had to stew in them until they came to pass. And when I say stew in them, that means you start with it, start the fire. You start rebelling, like, why am I getting hot? Why am I into this? And then you start adding a liquid and things start coming around you and it starts mellowing out. And then it's easy.
Oh,
Amen. And so what he has planned for me began to take to even all of the shrimp. But there's a couple verses that I want to share with you. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love and he will forgive you his pain. The righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. I'm sorry, the first one, second, I think, second, Psalm 34. But the thing that he gave me the most was the verse to dwell into, and that I was about to share. It says, now, may the Lord of peace himself give you the peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. And I want to thank you for all your prayers and support of both me and Rick and my family. And just say, God is with us. And I pray that he be with you.
Thank you, sir. Curious, do any children have anything they'd like to remembrance they have of Pastor Rick? Davia?
I miss his friend.
Amen.
This isn't some really strong, powerful memory, but one of the things that hit me most is how playful Rick could be. So Rick would crack jokes, whether they were good or bad, doesn't matter. And the love that came from him was overwhelming and at times staggering. And first year I ever did BDS, you were doing a beach theme. And I got the instructions to make a lifeguard chair. And it was like 6 feet tall or so. And Rick just wanted to get in it. He wanted to sit on it. And he wanted to do everything from it. And the conversation that went around the room as it was bringing it in. And just that playful attitude. But his authority that he had, you'd never know it because he was so humble. It's just that memory. I smile when I think of Rick and Sue sitting there. Sue's like, just get out there. Who's like, and then I'm in the middle, like, that brings me joy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mike said she wanted to work with us, so we can go. Well, me, I have two brothers who were born in the month of November. One is November 1st, and the second one is born on November 11th, which is the one who was born on November 1st was very close to me. My parents passed away a long time ago, and then the one who was born on November 1st, his name is Toussaint. He was the one who provided for me for my education. And eventually, Kai, he was the one who supported me when I was in school. And every time I see Pastor Rick, that reminds me of Toussaint, who was born on November 1st. And last year, when the kid brought home the news about Pastor Ray has fallen. He asked me, Daddy, Pastor Ray is sick and he don't have that much time left. And who is going to do the DPS? He said, I don't know at that point. They asked the Lord and you have to keep on praying. Amen. At the beginning of this year, he called me. He said, Alfred, you are the one who called me all the time at the beginning of the year. I'm calling you this time. And tell everybody here that they have. It was late January. And February, he passed away. He got a cancer and he passed away. During this time, we were talking on the phone, and he didn't tell me that he got anything. So that happened in February. It was a shock for me. Yeah. I hear that Pastor Luke passed away. But before that, we were praying, and one time I hear that in my dream. God said, Pastor Rick is real. That the voice is not from here, but it was outside. As we hear you praying, and then the voice comes from outside. But Pastor Rick is here. So I didn't understand the dream. But we keep on praying, and then that is added the blessing that the Pastor Rick is here. So we knew that.
I will share that.
You will stop. So if you are, I'm going through the step that we're going through, the pain. You know, in that situation, the person who is sick is going. But people around that person, like the sun, she is the one that is going through up and down. you are in Christ.
Amen.
He understands. We don't understand that. I believe that one day we get all the under
Thank
you, Father. Thank you. God bless you. And let's keep our faith strong.
Amen.
The Lord has his own faith.
Ryan? Amen. He had a joyful spirit about him. He let the children come to him, as the Word of God says. He definitely welcomed the children and affirmed them. He wasn't too spiritual for children. He blessed the children. He affirmed the children. Amen. Gloria? Yeah. Where do you think he got those names from? You don't know?
A funny website.
Yes. Well,
after retirement, I remember that Giorgio and Jordan we started with this church in 2008, and we got the CBS right away. And just watching Pastor Rick interact with the kids, you know, one of his characters, you know, that brought me joy and it made me want to do more. But to me, what Pastor Rick has also left behind is a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a teacher, whether he realized it or not. He taught us about family and he taught us about tradition. I knew that once November 1st hit, I could come to church and I could tell him Pastor Rick talking about snippet rules. Every week that he found some way to tie in there, and the interaction with his sons and his grandsons. And whether you realize it or not, it's a form of wealth. It's a form of tradition. You know, it's teaching us about passing things down to our children, who can pass things down to their children. You know, in this society nowadays, people don't seem to value that so much. So when you are able to pass it down to your children, you know, they carry that with them. It's not just about the material things that you're able to provide for them and they remember when they grow up. It's about the things that you did for them. It's about what you put into their heart. So the fact that he's able to put that into his son's heart, who now put that into their son's heart,
Yeah. That's
a way that they can come together and remember him.
Amen.
And it seems like everywhere I go now, I see something that says snickerdoodle. Are they going to just find a slap again yesterday and they went to the post and find ice cream afterwards? And in the corner, they had a snickerdoodle flavor. So it just speaks to me and says, Pastor Rick will not be here in the physical sense, but his spirit will always be with us.
Amen.
And it's something that will always make us smile, so that's something we should take with us.
Yeah.
There's a saying that says, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. I smile because I was blessed with the opportunity to know this man, to learn from this man. And I feel that's something we should all take from it. To remember the good things that he did for us. And to smile is also that moment that will show us that they may also grow and be blessed the way that we are.
Yeah. Yeah, the theme of snickerdoodles and family definitely came through on Monday, the final journey service, as the boys talked about making snickerdoodles together and just spending that time together as family. And as you know, Pastor Rick was such a devoted husband and father. And one of my last visits with Pastor Rick, I asked him, what would be the one piece of advice that he would give to me, thinking that he'd maybe give me some advice about, you know, how to sustain yourself in the ministry and pastoring and so forth and so on. And you know what he said? He started talking about the names of his children. And what do the names of your children mean? And I just got right back to the family. You know, you have that essay which says the world of home, all right, let love reside in it. And if things go right in the home, they go right everywhere. And And, you know, I've heard that he took time to bless each one of his boys individually, and communicate that blessing onto them. But he said, you know, emphasize the names of your children. What do the names of your children mean? And to remember that, and to remember to bless your children, affirm them. Both Pastor Rick and Sue and Sylvia and I both have Joshua. And I know early on, you know, really excited about his name and so forth, but you can kind of go away from that over time, where you're continuing to emphasize your children's names and what they mean. And we know that Joshua, and Pastor Rick, of course, had a Joshua, means, well, I mean, I don't know exactly what it means, but, you know, we know that the Joshua in the Bible took that promised land, led the people in taking the promised land, and was one of the spies that said, we can do it. You know, we can overcome. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can take that land, and being a strong and courageous leader to go in and take the promised land that God has for us. And so that's what he emphasized to me, is our children, their names, what do they mean, continue to bless them, continue to affirm them, and to speak God's blessing over them. And I think that's an excellent thing that he was able to take that time to bless each one of his boys.
There were two hymns, 10,000 Years and Amazing Grace. You know, one of the two of the metaphors that Rick's theology was wrapped around was Gloppen ice cream. And John, our son, went home and he wrote, 10,000 years, the sun comes up, green grass mowed, fresh, straight. Rick sang your song as he swung his club. Whatever the score, despite all my mulligans, let me be singing in the 18th hole. Bless the Lord, O my soul, the ball goes in the hole. Worship His holy name, sing like never before on each new hole. I worship Your holy name all through this new day's game. Our friend Rick Brown, you were slow to anger. We remember you now. Oh, your heart was kind. Find lots of ice cream with your Heavenly Father. 10,000 scoops, and then forevermore. Yeah. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that swooshed the club, slicing the air. The ball was lost and now is found in the rough, now shooting far. His wife and kids he loved so dear, with her he traveled the world. His boys he taught to play, work hard, be faithful, and make cookies well. The green shall never be putted out, the flag back in the hole, but God who gave Rick Swing his art will be forever ours. Rick is forever loved. O Lord my God, when fairway stretched before us, this is how great thou art. The dew, the grass, fresh mow, the Redskins won. We see the hole, we see the swing, the club smack. The ball goes straight and long we all rejoice. Our family strong, our church, our friends here, how great thou art. Thank God for Rick, our friend. Now sings our soul, our Savior God to thee. How great thou art. Thank you for Rick, our friend. And through the woods and fairways long we wander, and hear the birds and see the golf carts roam. When we look down from lofty trees over hazards, Rick's voice will ring in us, how great our God. When Christ shall come, we shall see Rick tomorrow. God brings us home with ice cream cones in hand. We shall embrace with joy and sweet affection to ever say, my God, how great thou art.
Amen.
Thank you.
I was so blessed by Pastor's great revelation, because I saw people dying. I saw them battle, going through situations, and at the end, near the end, they have a lot of questions. Say, God, why me? Why you cannot save me? Why you need me? Then, here is the word. I didn't think that he had those complaints. He was to tell me that if God healed him, that's fine. Even if he has to go home, that's fine. That gives me a lot of strength, knowing that it's not every time what we pray for what we get. Even though if we don't get it, he's still our God.
Amen.
We have still praising him. When I got that revelation for Pastor, for Lord, for saying Pastor, I said, Lord, don't see who we tell them that our God here. What do you want them to hang on? Because this God, he is God. Pastor, great son, we pray. It's the right thing, we pray. Because God asked us to pray. We pray. And God is so much. Just want to let God know that he is still our God. We worship him, we praise him. Even though when our will once was in our heart, that we sing pastorally here. But he chose the other way, he is still our God. And his determination teach me a lot. He took me close to God. He was a man of God. God testified that he knows him and he is God. So I just pray God, I worship him for my story tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bring it to Mr. Alabi. Mr. Alabi and then Mr. Johnson.
Everyone has spoken about Dr. Reed and the funny, nice person. Yes, he is. He's a nice person. He's a very good man. Two things I can say that I have just tried to do. One, my experience of Dr. Reed, my experience with Dr. Reed, my first experience that I came to this church, some years back, like I said, I was trying to buy a house, but he said he told me the truth without offending me, and that helped me a lot to refocus my attention on what was important. I find him as a man that does not just go around. He says the truth as he sees it. And the faith in the Lord. And that's what he did. And that really, really told me about the person he is. And the second thing I can say about him is that he's a team player. And I noticed that in the leadership of the church. The way there's rhythm within the leadership, he found his place and he did what he was asked to do. And I noticed that book. So, for me, Pastor Reed was actually a very serious minded individual. Very business like that. The way I see him, I saw him as a very business like individual that once always looks at the goal. You know, and I pray God for his life.
Amen. You know, of course, one of his enduring legacies will be men under God. And, you know, Benga wanted to get a house. He wanted to get a house. And Pastor Rick had the grace enough to encourage Benga to hold off for a while. And Benga realizes that that was a good thing now, in hindsight. And, you know, men under God, being people under God, that's one of the things that really we can glean from his life, is that just the sense, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. That when we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we're praying for God's kingdom and will to come into our lives. And when that happens, when we submit our lives to his kingship, his lordship in our life, that blesses every area of our life. Ultimately, at first it may be hard, but ultimately it helps our relationships, it helps our finances to get in order, helps our relationships to be right, our family, the parenting of our children. It brings order and a sense of rightness to our life. And of course, that's one of his enduring legacies, to pray God's kingdom and will into our life. I said Claude would be next. But we might be able to get this on tape. Are we getting that? So go ahead and take the mic. Because we're getting this on tape. So go ahead and take the microphone.
Hallelujah. The week we are going to hear the news that Pastor Rick was coming home. After the week, my wife called me before and she said, I saw Pastor Rick in my way. You look gorgeous. You look out of your white suit with flowers on the chest. And he was so joyful. He looked like he's going to a wedding.
Amen.
I know my wife has come on with a gift of revelation. Whenever she sees something in her room, she says to you, you better watch out. So when I hear she says something like that to me, I say, and I want to pray for Pastor Rick and I say, Lord, you said with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. So how come you're going to let Pastor Rick go like that? And they welcomed me right away and said, nevertheless, let your will be done, not mine. So I pray and I say, God, I still believe in miracle, but nevertheless, let your will be done. So effectively, after 3 days, we hear that Pastor Rick was not. And I believe also that Bible said that your last breath on earth is your last breath in heaven. So I prefer what Pastor Wing wants. You want to give me his love. I believe that place is the best for him. So no matter what, no matter how we are going, no matter what we are going through, pain and we don't want to see him, because he is the one who always comes through the did years, did the one who cheer the children from here. And I was thinking about who can do that? Who else has that gift? And I said, okay, God, you take me away, it's for your pleasure. But so we need it from pleasure too. So Samson wants to take his place here. So I just want to say, Pastor Rick is the model of a strong man in faith. I can say that he's my mentor.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Actually, I'm glad we have another chance to talk about Pastor Rick. The fondest memory I have of Pastor Rick was in 2013. We haven't been here longer than about 4 years. And in 2013 was when I lost my grandma. And he gets time to give me the funniest advice, but the best advice he could ever give me to deal with it. He didn't ask me one day, I was pregnant with his son. And he says, if I told you, would you cry? And I lied. I said, I'm so good to said, I never see you cry. He said, you know, losing someone, it's hard. You know, you're going to go through it, but you have to cry and let it out. And immediately, I was laughing with that, I started crying. And I said, why did you make me do this? I didn't want to cry. He said, I can see when you gave your testimony about your great-grandmother and your grandmother being so close, that you lost your mother, you lost your grandmother, and it's like, you're just holding it all in. And I didn't know how to deal with it. And I'm always the strong one. I'm always the one that keeps everything locked in. And for him to make me laugh, and then I started to cry, it's like the crying would not stop. And he said, it's okay. God hears you, he's here to comfort you. It's okay. Keep crying until you feel that you are at peace. And I just gave him a hug and I said, thank you, because I didn't know how to answer. And everybody else around me is like, just going through this depression. But I don't want to be in that world. I said, no, I want to remember my grandma. I don't want to, you know, be in the sorrow all the time. But he said, remember, just keep remembering her. Laugh. And even if the laughter makes you cry, just keep going. Just keep going until you find peace. I also remember a vacation Bible school that year. And he was Ranger Rick. And the excitement he brings when the kids are doing tally and how much the money they raise for the foundation. I mean, it sounds like a football team in here. They get so excited, the boys versus the girls. And just that hype, you know, we all feed off of that a little bit. To just leave you, it's a stressful time, but it's a joyous time. There were so many children, but to see so many children come to God. And I had the pleasure of to see a receiving Christ that year. She came up and she said, I want to get, you know, have Jesus in my life. And then I also went to the women's conference. And everybody was skeptical about me going to the women's conference because I was very close to my due date. So Pastor Eric said, you can't have that baby at the conference. And I said, well, I can't help it if anything happens. He said, no, you're not going to have that baby at the conference. You're going to come back here, you're going to tell us all about it, and you're going to go to the hospital. And lo and behold, I came back to the conference 2 days later. He spoke that in my life, and I told him I appreciate it. Everybody was freaking out. Like, oh, baby here, don't have that baby here. So he spoke that, and I'm glad he did, because he gave us a chance to come back. I was around family, and she was on time. She wanted to be with God the whole time.
Amen.
So just thank God for Pastor Rick for all the wonderful encouragement.
Amen. Let's bring it over to Dee Dee and then Abby. Dee Dee.
And Dr. Lee, It was only two times that I saw him. The first time, that is, he laid on the bed shoulder and we were praying for him and we were doing the chapel. And the second time, he preached. He came and preached. And I was amazed. And I saw him and he preached. Everything touched me. Said, wow. Someone can see his death. And the week to encourage us, encourage himself, is very amazing. I just want to tell the family, as much a little bit, how what it can be go through. And here's a song from Bebo Norman. Say, I will lift my eyes to the mountain, the maker of the mountain. Say, God, my God, I cry out.
Amen. You've done your job well, Sue. You've done a great job. Sue would like to say something in response to that.
First of all, thank you for your prayers. Rick was a planner. Everybody had said he planned everything. And he did it well. That was his job. And he mentioned about thousands of people. And God always blessed him and they always came up. But in the last 9 months, we have prayed and talked. And what has been revealed is that life is going to change for him. Yes. Yesterday, my mother-in-law, who's 94, who was living with us for 7 years, came home. And she has a plan for her life now. She's moving to North Carolina. And I looked at them and I said, the end of the month. She goes, well, that was our first plan, but we're going to July. I said, no, end of the month. She said, okay. I don't know why I said the end of the month, but I've been praying about it, and I know that time is going to come fast. And fury is coming for me. I don't know how long I'll be here. Then if I have nothing, if I'm going to do, first thing is going to my parents and deal with some things that need to be done in my life. And I need to visit some relatives that have been going through some really hard times. That's all I can tell you about it. I hope that I accomplish it before the end of the year. But I also will live in my house on the market. And this doesn't help. But where I end up, I don't know. Maybe I'll be in that year. I really don't know. But I just want you all to know that I'm not a baby that we should. And I'm not running. I'm ripping somebody out. It's just that we felt that God was telling us that all these years I've never had to be by myself and be myself further. I've always been sort of my parents' shadow. Being in college, you think you're on your own, but you're not. And then we got married right out of college, so all of them then. And my son said, Mom, you're not going to be his wife anymore. I'll be you. What do you mean by that? Change can sometimes be hard. But I know that the Lord told me that this has to happen. And some days I wake up and I'm scared as I'll get up. But thankfully, that's my fault. Because I know where it came from. And I'm not going to take the hand of what he gives me to. I'm going to take the hand and continue to take the hand. Because when this guy has been giving me a new journey, a new direction, and I know it's got to be something, because otherwise it would have taken forever. But anyway, and I also want to say, a friend went to that place and says, you know, I know where we're still. And I said, oh yeah? Yeah, she came to find Bill. They're going to find the golf course up there.
Bless you. The only thing I can think of right off is that Rick was a perfect example that God just wants you to be who you are. Yeah, there was nothing fake about it. He didn't pretend to be somebody he wasn't. And when God calls us, he just calls us as we are. So no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, God has called you just as you are. He doesn't want you to turn into somebody else. He doesn't want me to try to be like Pastor Rick. He doesn't want me to try to be like Dan. Furlough, he wants me to be me. And the more Christ-like you become, the more you will be who God created you to be. We don't all turn into identical little robots. We are who God created us to be. And Rick just displayed that so well, that you just be real. Just be who God called you to be.
Amen.
You don't worry about whether you say or do every little thing exactly right. Just do it the way God asks you to do it. And you know, I just want to encourage everybody, especially those of you that are wondering what your place is. You know, I mean, I have things that I do, you know, and I have two wings at work, I put them in the car, you know. I can't play my guitar, I guess I just water the grass. You know, there's something for everybody to do. And there's people here that can probably play guitar better than me. And there's people here that can sing up there. And there's probably somebody that's going to step up and be kind of corny for BDS. You know? There's never going to be anybody that can replace Rick doing that, obviously.
Don't even try, just be yourself.
But we need something there. It's a void, obviously, that needs to be filled.
And so I just feel God just saying, you know, follow his example. Just be what I called you to be.
Amen.
And step up and be willing to do whatever God asks. And that's all he's asking from us. It's nothing complicated, nothing difficult. You don't have to turn into somebody else. Just be who God asked you to be. And he'll bless all of us. Just
amen.
Like he blessed all of us to be real.
Amen.
I just want to remind everyone that Rick's years of service here at Brookgate have been recorded. And all of his sermons are still on our website. And you can dig into the archives and you can find messages that are applying just as much today as they did back then. And let me tell you, I get over there and I smile when Rick's voice comes through the airwaves. It's a blessing. I recommend you guys do it. You can download them, you can save them, you can put them in your iPod, computer, whatever you guys want. So just remember that. He still has something on our website.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else? Deborah? Ruth? Vance, would you do want to come up here and close us in prayer? Go ahead, Lily.
God said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless those who bless you, the curse those who curse you. And all the nations bless themselves. Now you can either be a blessing or not be a blessing, or be a blessing of the God. And to you and the rest of your family are not a blessing of the God. And I will thank you for being such a blessing for all people.
Well, Vance has taken the mic. Just one more aspect that we can't forget is just his integrity as a person and how that really impacted his work. He was at his company for over 40 years. And I think of the verse Colossians 3:23 and 24. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you will know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And Rick was himself. Rick is a servant of the Lord. A servant of the Lord. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Amen. Well, let's all stand.
Father, we gather today as a community, as a body of Christ. We recognize about our brother Rick, Sue, our relationships with them. Father, we thank you for all those years. We thank you for Rick and the influence that he had on our spiritual lives, on our day-to-day living, the advice that he gave. We thank the Lord for how he presented himself, not only within the church, but in the business world, on the golf course, all the places that he went, Lord God. We thank you for his fellowship. Father, most of all, we thank you that you are our living God, that you touch each of us each day as we awake with your Holy Spirit and guide us. We always emphasize the fact that every morning is a new day to praise the Lord and be with him and listen to his Spirit and be guided by the direction that you gave to each one of us, that you give each one of us. So, Father, we pray that we will greet each day with a cheer, that we will rejoice that Rick is where he is. We will rejoice that someday, as Sue said, maybe tomorrow we will see him. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessings across this entire community. So we just pray, Lord God, that you will continue to bless us this week as we go from this place. Help us to be alive in your Spirit, to love one another, as we said earlier in the service today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.